Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, October 17th, 2013. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, homebrewers Brooke Baber and David Bowder share some graph that they have brewed. This Stephen King-inspired fruit beer was sampled by Steve and me after a recent shooting of Basic Brewing video. We'll tell you how it tasted and how to make it. If you're new to home brewing and would like to get into the hobby for the first time, check out our website, basicbrewing.com, where you can find archives of our audio and video podcasts and our DVDs to walk you through basic and more advanced brewing techniques. You can follow me on Twitter. My username is basicbrewing, all one word. Also, you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/basicbrewing.james. We have a Basic Brewing Radio and Basic Brewing Video page on Facebook as well, facebook.com/basicbrewing. We're on Google Plus, too, and thanks again to everybody clicking on the Amazon.com associate link on our basicbrewing.com site. You know how that works. Whenever you think of shopping on Amazon, go to basicbrewing.com first. Click on our Amazon ad. That will take you to Amazon.com. And then you can shop as you normally do without paying any more. The only difference is that we will get a commission from whatever you buy. We greatly appreciate everybody who has done that. We also have associate links for Brew Your Own Magazine and the American Homebrewers Association on our site, too. You can find our Basic Brewing iPhone app on iTunes and our Android app on Amazon.com. We're on the BlackBerry podcast directory, and we're on the Stitcher app, and we're on the Windows phone directory, too. And I'm sure we're a bunch of other places, too. Check out our Brewer's Logbook at basicbrewingshop.com. In the front is a blank calendar that you can use to track your fermentations and plan your brews. And there is room in the back to log the details of up to 50 batches of beer. If you want to put a tip in our tip jar, some coinage in our guitar case, you can go to basicbrewing.com/support. Thanks to everybody who has done so already. Especially handy for those of you who are outside the United States and, shipping is sort of expensive for some of our stuff. So that's a way you can support us that way. Protect your precious beer with one of our growler bags. Check those out at basicbrewingshop.com as well. You know, last week, in the heat of everything, I forgot to mention the Great American Beer Festival. Since I didn't go this year, it slipped my mind. Maybe that's a subconscious defense mechanism to keep me from getting, jealous of everybody. Now, Andy Sparks was in the area for another reason. He had something to do in Boulder, and I think he got dropped in on one of the sessions for the festivities. I hope that everybody had fun at the Great American Beer Festival. I know that Jeff and Greg from Craft Beer Radio were out there, so I'm looking forward to hearing what they got into. A new episode of Basic Brewing Video may be up by the time you hear this. This week, Steve and I sample two homebrews based on rye. That you have actually heard us taste on this show. I tweaked a couple of the recipes that we've done in the past, and I think the results are very tasty. Low-gravity, tasty beers brewed with rye. We'll take you step-by-step on how to brew them in the episode. Let's take a quick look into the mailbag for some tips from listeners, shall we? Matt from York in the UK writes in, Matt says, I remember someone asking the question about using spent grains as mulch, and so far I don't know if anyone has come up with an answer. Well, it so happens that a few weeks prior to listening to that podcast, I had the exact same idea and spread the spent grains from an all-grain batch of brew over my plants to use as mulch. It seemed to make sense. Anyway, in my experience, I found a few things that may be of use to some people. Number one, they did work as mulch, providing a nice thick ground cover which stopped too much moisture evaporation from my pots over the summer. Number two, they gave the garden area a nice color after it had been spread. Interesting. Number three, I noticed that after a few weeks, a layer of mold and mildew developed under and between the grain layer. And number four, this smelled a bit sour and got me thinking, is this altering my soil pH? I'm not a real horticulturalist. Horticulturist. That's a word that I have trouble with. So I cannot answer that. All I can say is that most of my plants did not seem bothered and have thrived this year. However, I have had two plants die on me, which could have been either because of this changing pH or just bad plant husbandry. Anyway, That's what I got from it. Next time, maybe they'll go in the compost instead of straight over. Well, thanks, Matt. I appreciate that. I suppose you could spread the spent grains on pavement and, sort of dry them out before you put them on your garden. Maybe that would help. But come to think of it, I guess they'd get wet again when it rained or when you watered the plants. So maybe that wouldn't help in the long run. But I appreciate the note, Matt. And I will continue to pile my compost into the compost, or my spent grains into the compost heap. The flower beds are my wife's domain anyway, so I will stay over in the corner of the yard. Brad from Appleton, Maine says, I took note of your discussion on how to approach milling the much harder wheat berries. I have my trusty old valley mill set to a gap that gives me an excellent crush on all my base malts and also all my specialty malts. I hate to adjust that setting just to crack a few pounds of rock-hard wheat berries, so I just turned to my old Corona mill, my Corona corn mill that most of us started brewing with. I have the plates set up to a gap that does the kind of crush I'm looking for and don't ever have to adjust that mill either. So anyway, there you go. That's a good tip. If you still have your own, Corona mill from the old days and you don't use it anymore, maybe you could set that one for your wheat and or rye. And that way you have two gaps to mind, so to speak. I want to thank everybody who responded to my question on our Facebook page that I posted this past Friday. I've been corresponding with a toxicologist for a future show on stuff like whether some materials like plastic in the mash tun, for example, are toxic at the temperatures that we use them at, other issues like that. And I asked for more similar questions, and we got a flood of input on the page. So I greatly appreciate that, and I hope we can put together an interesting and informative show or maybe a series of shows soon. So look for that. Okay, on to this week's show. Steve Wilkes and I had a lot of fun with this one especially. I get an email from Brooke Baber asking if I'd like to taste some interesting brews that he and his buddy David Bowder had done. And, of course, the answer was yes. Now, Graf is something that I'd heard about but never tried. Never tried to brew it and never tried to taste it either. It's essentially, as I understand it, a fictional beer from the mind of Stephen King, apparently from the Dark Tower series. Now, I'm sure that there are different takes on how to brew Graf or similar beers, but Brooke and David's versions were very tasty. Brooke Baber, welcome to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thank you, James, for having me. It's a personal honor, may I say.
And David Bowder, welcome to Basic Brewing Radio.
Hello, thanks a lot, James.
You guys are up in Chicago, and are you ready for the winter?
Not really.
I'm kind of looking forward to it, you know, but that's just me.
It's brewing weather, right?
I like to think so, yes. Good reason to get the house all nice and steamy and smelling like wort.
There you go. Now, you generously sent some bottles of beer, and it's a style that neither Steve nor I had any exposure to, and I barely know anything about it. It's this Graf stuff. Do you know any history behind this? Where does it come from?
Well, actually, the first reference I heard was yours as to calling it that. And then I asked a friend of mine I work with who happens to be a Stephen King fan who said that's where it came from there. From us, we made it before we ever heard of the term just because we were screwing around with stuff and decided to ferment out and apple, oatmeal, porter, and a honey apple wheat and a bunch of other beers for, you know, just fun. We did a pineapple double IPA, and so that just became part of the experimentation.
So what is it? I mean, what is this stuff?
Well, I suppose the long and short of it is it's basically if you imagine cutting a cider and a beer together, but fermenting them at the same time in the same wort.
Ah, so it's kind of like a sizer in the mead world, only it's with beer and apple juice instead.
Right. And in this case, we did, you know, not to get into the recipe too early if you want, but we did also add honey too, not to, you know, spoil anything, but that's, we kind of just look for fermentables that we think will go together. We kind of just look for flavors we think will work, and kind of each beer is another step in an experiment, kind of.
So let's talk about, you sent us three beers, and I got together with Steve Wilkes as we were shooting an episode of Basic Brewing Video after we got done shooting. So we're a little goofy. We went into the tasting, you know, each having sampled only half a beer, which shows you you know kind of what our baseline is as far as the goofiness is concerned, because you know, we don't need help to be silly, essentially.
Fantastic.
But
well, as fans, we love that part.
But we started off with the one labeled A. So tell us about this beer before we go into the tasting.
Do you want the actual just straight up recipe?
Yeah, let's start with that.
Okay. And sorry, Dave, I head into the recipe here. Well, what we did is a split wort. We made a total of 6 gallons of wort, split that in half, and then with each of the halves, we fermented 1.5 gallons of juice. So basically, the wort itself was, we started out with a pre-boil of 7 gallons, 4 pounds of honey malt that we actually, when Dave and I steep, I don't know, Dave, do you want to explain to him our steeping process? We kind of go from cold on up, or I don't know, how would you say it?
You know, we just, maybe it's not the best process, but we just throw the grain in there cold and just warm up the water as it goes, you know, and just leave the grain in there.
I mean, basically, and especially when we're working with something like honey malt, we found that it works really well in a lot of beers to give them to really contribute body, especially aside from flavor, because that way they're not really going, having a chance to go through a whole lot of enzymatic process, but we're still getting a good amount of time to steep them. It's almost like a comparison to cold steeping coffee or something like that. You know, you're still extracting at cold temperatures. You're just not getting really enzymatic action.
So it's almost like doing a ramped up step mash, sounds like.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, we're doing that in a whole bunch of water, so any kind of extraction is going, you know, we're doing it in our full volume with the, you know, 4 pounds of honey malt, and that's the only grain in there at the moment, because for the rest of the recipe, we have 6 pounds of wheat DME, and it's a standard 55-45 blend that you get in, like, mutton and pheasants, I believe it is, and then there's also 3 pounds of clover honey, and that's the wort. So it's mostly just straight up thin fermentable sugars and then honey malt. But the way we steep it, I think, actually contributed the body that you find, that kind of, you know, for lack of a better term.
That's interesting because, you know, extract beers, you know, they can, especially if you get into the higher gravities, can have quite a substantial mouthfeel. But then adding the honey would counteract that as well. So whatever you did, it was tasty.
Well, so, you know, I think it's just juggling the ingredients.
So talk about the hopping.
For hopping, we have 2 ounces, and it's all Palisade. It's a single hop beer. It's a Palisade at 8.2%. And Palisade, I mean, if you look it up on all the sites, it tends to, depending on where you use it, give anything from spice to fruit. So we thought that might go nice. We did 2 ounces We did 2 ounces of Palisade at 60, 2 ounces at 15 minutes, 1 ounce at 10, and 1 ounce at 5.
Wow. That's a bunch.
Yeah, there's a bunch.
But keep in mind, it's a concentrated wort. We're thinning it down, so yeah.
So you start off with, do you go through the entire boil with the wort together? I mean, just before you split it?
Well, the entire wort's together except for the juices. The juices obviously have to remain separate, and actually they remain frozen.
Huh.
Yeah, we use the juice to kind of cool down the wort afterwards.
Oh, no, there's an idea.
Yeah, we see it in the sterile container. We get them right from the store with all the sediment, everything we want, you know, not from concentrate, all the good bits in there. We just freeze them as is, sterilize a knife, and cut them and drop them into the fermenter, and that way we can rack onto a block of ice. We've done it with a number of different types of things just to screw around, and it's kind of fun.
Now, so you freeze it, and you essentially cut away the plastic container from the block of frozen
plastic
juice?
Plastic paper, yep. Easier with paper, like the pineapple juice we get comes in a paper carton, and that's pretty awesome.
Do you have to worry about, you know, when you freeze water, you know, it expands, do you have to worry mm-hmm. about the container bursting?
Typically not. We've typically had good luck, especially because sugars, they do help prevent some of the freezing at such higher temperatures, so it doesn't expand as much as just pure water.
Ah, okay. All right.
So, and it's not under carbonation, so obviously that's different, too, when you expand some carbonated. So,
yeah, right, it's not going to explode.
Yeah. So is it slushy?
Oh, it's slushy to a frozen block.
No, it's pretty much frozen.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. Right now, before we even get into the tasting, we got some interesting tips and tricks that people can try. So you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about sanitizing the juice because it's pasteurized, and freezing it and helps you cool down your wort. Brilliant.
Yep. Well, thank you. That's nice of you to say. Well, Dave's an IT professional. I'm a chef, so we tend to, you know, try to knock our heads together and use kind of what we know between our two worlds to see what we can do to make brewing a little easier, a little more fun.
There you go. Okay, well, are we ready to go into the, are there any, oh, what yeast did you use?
Well, here's another thing, too. For this beer, we kind of fermented it low and slow because we didn't want to, we've kind of found through past beers, like I said, this isn't the first apple or pineapple beer we've made. We've kind of found through past beers that we like to do vigorous fermentations on certain ones, but these benefit kind of from slower fermentation, simply because, at least from our experience, you're not driving off a lot of the really volatile scent molecules. For whatever reason, the scent and flavor ones, some of them, kind of the delicate ones, hang out more. So we actually fermented first with Y yeast 1450 Denny's 50. That took it from an original gravity of 1.049 down to 1022. And then when we checked it there, because that doesn't attenuate too far either, and we didn't actually do a whole lot of yeast. We split the pack because it wasn't very big, but that's fine. We usually do two packs in a 5 gallon. We did one pack in each. And then for that, we then pitched a little bit of saff ale on top of it to dry it out, because when we tasted it, we thought it had a little too much actual residual sugar. Mm-hmm. We took a gravity reading, and we're like, nah, 1022, we want it a little drier. So we hit it with a little bit of saff ale, USO5, and that took it down to 1.018.
Okay. Yeah, let's get into the tasting. The first one is the apple. And Steve was tasting blind. So here we go. Okay, Steve, we just got finished shooting a video episode of Basic Brewing Video, as opposed to an audio episode of Basic Brewing Video.
Those are harder to watch.
Yeah, or maybe they're easier. I don't know. But we're here, and we just shared a bottle of your smoked peach beer. So if people want to see that and listen to details about how you brew that, it's a tasty one. Take a look at that video episode.
Yeah.
The cicadas are in the background. Summer's not all the way over yet, but it's a little cooler today, and we're sitting outside. We're sampling some home brews from Brook Baber. So let's do this one first.
Okay.
It's got an A on it.
Does that mean it's the best? Got an A?
I don't know. Let's see.
Tell me about it.
I don't know. We're going to get the details on how to brew this from Brooke on the show.
Okay.
But what we're doing is we're tasting. So maybe we'll taste these first, and then I'll tell you what each one of them is.
All right.
Does that sound fair?
It does.
It's pouring with a lot of head. There's a big head on it.
Yep.
It's kind of a what? A dark amber?
It's an amber.
Maybe?
It's like an amber ale. And there is a large rocky head. and there's good head retention. I mean, it's really,
it's sticking around.
A prodigious head.
Is that an academic term?
That is academic.
Cheers.
Cheers. We couldn't hear that. Wait, let's do that again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, cheers, sound effects. Yeah, that's our Foley artist in there.
Okay, so I don't know anything about this beer. This is a blind testing.
We're just drinking it now. I did tell you that this is a style called Graff.
Yeah, which I thought was the city government of Kansas City. So you corrected me. It was Graft.
Flavor components?
It's really good. I get it's a fruit beer. I get apples and I get cinnamon. Do you? Am I crazy? It tastes like apples to me.
Go with it. Go with it.
It tastes like apples and cinnamon and brown sugar. I mean, it tastes like a, you know, maybe a some kind of a, you know, fall pumpkin beer, fall apple beer. It's really good.
Oh, that is tasty.
That's really good. It's sweet.
It's really sweet.
It's not about the hops.
No, but it is. You're right. It's like it baked apple. I get baked apple.
Yeah,
and sure. I haven't talked to Brooke yet about how this was made, but that's tasty.
That's really tasty. It's dessert like to me, so it's not a. This probably wouldn't be a lawnmower beer for me.
No.
But it's, boy, that's a sitting back and watching the, you know, your football team or whatever, and that's a good beer.
So you nailed it. It is an apple wheat.
Okay.
Apple.
Yeah.
Apple wheat. The answer is apple wheat.
I'm going to need it in the form of a question.
What is apple wheat? So so instead of getting a little green apple, we get a little baked apple.
Mm-hmm.
It's that's tasty.
Boy, good job. And I get that kind of brown sugar cinnamon thing that you expect with an apple pie. I don't know if he was going for that or not, but that's what I'm getting out of it.
Yeah, I don't know if they're. I don't know anything about the recipe at this point.
Right.
Because we're in the past.
Yeah.
We'll be editing with sound from the future. But I get cinnamon. That's you've got that. And I get that baked kind of baked quality of like being in a pie, or you've had like baked apples where it's just an apple that you maybe cut the top off and you sprinkle some maybe brown sugar and cinnamon on the top of it and you bake it in the oven.
Mm-hmm. And because it's a wheat beer, that makes sense to me. It has the malt bill is very light.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not chewy. It's not a chewy beer.
But it's not thin either. It's got nice body.
No, yeah, no, but it's not, it's, well, you know what I'm saying. If you're a home brewer, you know what I'm saying. If it's got a whole bunch of, just a ton of malt in it, they kind of get thick on your palate.
Yeah. If it's an extract beer, it doesn't have a ton of extract in it. Because there's not that...
I don't get any extract wang. Sorry.
Right, yeah.
Step on your line there.
Yeah, no, you're good.
Wow.
So, good. We'll set the remnants of that aside, so we will enjoy that over the course. We're brewing. You're also brewing.
I am.
So these will be our brew beers as well.
We'll
ration ourselves here so that we will enjoy these. And we're in the shade, so they're not going to get skunked.
Mm. You know what would really pair well with this? Like bratwurst.
Ooh.
You know, German sausages, German food.
You got some?
Yeah, later. German food would be awesome with this beer.
Yeah.
You know, or like...
I agree.
Smoked...
A strudel. Why do I feel like I have to go in falsetto when I talk?
No.
A strudel. Good Logan. Okay, I'm sorry.
All right.
We like the apple wheat. So we tasted... apples, cinnamon, brown sugar, baked apple. Was there spice in there too?
Nothing Dave? That we added separately.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting because I guess it was just the malt sweetness that was coming through and giving us the kind of brown sugary kind of spicy character. It was a really tasty beer, and we were thinking it's kind of a dessert beer because it's sweet, but it's not cloyingly sweet. It was really nicely balanced.
Well, thanks again. I appreciate this. You know, I've been listening, Dave and I have been listening to the podcast for a lot of years now, so thanks. That really means a lot to us that you enjoyed it. But like I said, this is just this is a long line of, you know, different beers we've played with this fruit and this fruit technique. So, yeah, that's why I'm happy to share the recipe. I hope other people make it.
And the second one was the pineapple beer. Talk about this. Was there any difference at all as far as how you treated the pineapple juice or how you balanced the pineapple juice?
Nope, exact same ratios, 1.5 gallons each. And then fermenter side by side, we racked the wort from each of the fermenter or from the fermenter in till it was 50-50. And then we took the last, like I said, fermented those out. And then it wasn't until bottling that we actually mixed them. So now it's pretty much exact same recipe, just one right. juice in place of the other.
Did you see any difference in attenuation between the apple juice and the pineapple juice sides?
No. They pretty much both finished out at exactly the same spot.
I mean, one thing that I would suspect is that pineapple juice might be a little more acidic than apple cider. I don't know, maybe not, but that was... Why
no, definitely the presence of citric acid, but I think also citric acid in many ways I think would also act as a yeast nutrient. So some of that actual acidity, while it would temporarily change the pH, once the yeast life cycle gets going, it's going to eat that pH and still, you know, at least that's what I would think.
Interesting. So let's go into tasting the pineapple. All right, we're on to the second beer. This lid has pee on it, or a pee on it.
I'm not drinking it.
It's a P, or it could be a musical note if you turn it upside down, or a D, lowercase d.
It's a quarter note. All right, ready?
All right, yep, here we go.
Nice effervescent little psst, psst. And I'm going to do a nice little pour.
And I'm not going to tell you anything about it, although the P might have, you might have gotten a hint by the P.
Well, it could be pumpkin, it could be peaches, it could be pawpaws. You know what? I bought some pawpaws.
Did you pick them up
at the farmer's market?
Don't you pick up pawpaws? Isn't there a song?
And you put them in your pocket. You pick up pawpaws and you put them in your pocket. Well, we tried
when you pick a pawpaw or a prickly pear, you might get a raw paw. So just beware.
Okay.
The bees are buzzing in the trees. Okay.
All right.
People with kids will know that. Okay. Cheers. Wait, Foley. Wait,
Foley.
Cheers. All right.
Our glasses are plastic, so we have to clink. Prop glasses.
Colonel Clink. Colonel Hogan. Okay, that's all right. Yep. All right. Okay.
Okay. Under the serious stuff.
Oh, that smells also very fruity, but in a different way.
Oh, my.
You're channeling George Decay. Oh, my.
Oh, my. I need to espouse. That's really good. I'm not even going to tell you why. Because I don't know.
You need to espouse, but you don't know why.
That's rich and malty and sugary, and it's like if you have creme brulee at a really good restaurant and they caramelize the sugar on top, you know, that crunchy stuff. It's that crunchy burnt caramel thing. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, but smell.
I know I do. I'm sorry. Yeah.
You're brewing.
I'm brewing.
It's okay. You've been standing over a hot mash tun.
I
know what it is, so I pick up the component in this one, and I think you will as soon as you hear what it is. But I'm trying to see if you know what it is.
Well, I'm trying, but
once you know what it is, the smell smells exactly about what the component is. Do you want me to tell you?
I'm stumped, yeah. I don't know.
Smell it? And as you're smelling it, think...
Dad?
Pineapple.
Oh, of course.
It's pineapple.
Of course it's pineapple.
It's exactly pineapple.
Wow. But...
But again, it's got that brown, a little brown sugar on it.
That's right. It's pineapple upside down cake. Jeez Louise, that is it. That's what I was tasting. It's pineapple upside down cake. I got to make that tonight for dinner.
I'm sticking around.
It is.
It smells really good.
To me,
the pineapple is very fresh.
It is.
It's like if you were to cut into a good fresh pineapple.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've been lucky enough to have been to Hawaii and have actually sliced open a fresh pineapple.
Yeah.
I get a lot of that.
Now, as soon as you said it, that's amazing.
Yeah. See, that switch in your head, because you've never had a pineapple beer. You might have had beers with pineapple components because of the hops.
Yeah.
But it's that old thing where, remember the first diacetyl beer we tasted together?
How could I forget?
It was butterscotch.
Yeah.
But we drank a lot of that beer saying, what is that? I know what it is. But then finally when the connection was made, boom.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's what this is. I cheated because I know ahead of time.
My mind, I saw the P on the label.
I should have brought a towel.
And I kept wanted to say that it was a pumpkin beer. And it looks like a pumpkin beer. It's dark. You know, it's a fairly...
Yeah, in looking at it, it's a little darker than the first one.
It's a brownish amber looking ale. And it's fall. And so I'm thinking, well, it's got to be a pumpkin beer. Mm. But it wasn't. And I knew it wasn't. But I couldn't come up with anything else. Yeah. It's like, I got to get the pumpkin out of here somehow. But it's pineapple.
Mm.
Wow. This is a style called Graf.
I have to tell you that I placed a bet with myself, which I have lost.
Really?
So far.
Who do you owe?
Me, I guess. We've got one more beer. So you still have time to make the joke that I thought that you were going to make initially.
Oh.
I thought you would be jumping right on it.
But maybe we should
set these aside.
I feel like I'm writing a Murphy Brown here.
I don't know what that means.
Neither.
All right. Delicious.
Yeah.
It's sugary, mm-hmm. In a brown sugary, but with pineapple.
Yep.
And somebody I know, a good friend, at holiday gatherings, takes a sliced pineapple, or takes a pineapple, slices it in half, like chunks it up inside the halves, and puts brown sugar on it, and then puts toothpicks in it. That's a lot like this.
Yeah.
Very good.
It's very good.
It's very sweet, but not cloyingly sweet.
It's not about the hops.
But it's got a clean finish.
Is it also wheat beer?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, pineapple wheat.
Okay.
I'm
seeing a pattern here.
Every beer has to have the word apple in it somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Adam's apple is next.
Ooh.
So, again, rich, malty, sugary. Steve said creme brulee and a pineapple upside down cake. So, you know, it brought to mind, you know, brown sugar and, you know, kind of a spiciness there that apparently you didn't add.
Nope. Well, I think, again, as a chef, you always know spice flavors can come from a number of places. That's how you can taste them in wine. You taste them in all kinds of different things. So I'm pretty sure this is just, you know, from our experiments in the past, the result of a nice low fermentation, a wide assortment of sugars that actually had aromatics, and then the Denny's yeast, because that was kind of the actual variable in this recipe of what we hadn't played with before. Was the Denny's 50. That was actually kind of the one variable in the recipe that we really, because we've done Palisade beers, we've done Palisade apple beers, we've kind of worked on these over a while, so like I said, this one, the variable was the Denny's 50, so I think some of those spice and caramel notes really are from just a nice, early, letting the Denny's 50 eat as much of the good stuff as it could get.
And did you say what kind of honey that you used?
It's clover honey. North American clover honey.
Okay. Very nice. Oh, and by the way, I said in that clip that I expected Steve to make a graph joke. And I expected, spoiler alert, he let me down because I expected the first words out of his mouth when I said that we were drinking a beer called Graf, I expected a Steffi Graf joke. And he didn't do it. And I forgot to call him on that, you know, by the end of the third tasting. But it's funny, about 20 minutes after we stopped taping, he made a Steffi Graf joke. Completely unrelated to the tasting, because he's always making Steffi Graf jokes. I don't know.
That's hilarious.
We call Steve Mr. Non Sequitur.
With good reason, it seems.
So we like the apple, we like the pineapple.
Thank you.
What, you know, you think, you know, man, what could be better but to mix the two? And so you sent us a third beer, which mm-hmm. was a mixture of the two beers, and here's how that went. Okay, we're on to the third one. And don't try to interpret the thing on the top.
Well, I can't because it's A, P, and 3.
Well, it could be a 3, could be a W, could be an M.
That's why I'm being careful.
Or
it
could
analysis.
Be an E.
But you're right, could.
So.
It's nicely carbonated. All three beers share a rocky head. And all three beers look about the same.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
The visual.
Pardon me.
That's a rocky head.
Wow. Where'd you get? You need lessons on pouring.
I was pouring aggressively.
Well, any dissertations you want to recite while that
while calms settles
down?
Out,
or you want to shave with that?
Well, okay, it's all right.
Okay,
so
wow.
I like all three of these a lot. I like them. The more I drink of them, the more I like them.
It's funny how that happens.
How does it happen?
That's why we're spacing them out. We're setting the remnants aside so that we can pace ourselves. I don't know what the ABV on these is.
Okay. So I have no idea
what this one is.
What this is.
Well, let's think about it.
Yeah, I am.
It is. It's still sweet.
Yep.
Yet there's a tartness, as in the other two.
Mm-hmm. I have this feeling that it's the same beer with three different fruit adjuncts. Am I right or wrong? Am I cold or hot, Marco?
I'm trying not to give you. That's
Polo.
That's. Okay, keep working.
I'm working it. This one has the most subdued flavor profile of the three.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever the mystery ingredient is the least... you know, when I tasted the apple beer, that was definitely apples. I really got apple pie out of that. The pineapple I did too, although I couldn't identify it. But
right.
As soon as I did, I was like, oh yeah, that's a... Yeah. That's a pineapple upside down cake all day long. I'm still not sure.
I ate those part time apple or pineapple upside down cakes.
Just the half day.
You hate the ones that stop at like noon.
They don't get health care.
Continue.
This one is the most subdued of the three. I mean, the flavor is not as bright. It's a really good beer. I like it a lot. So it's not a judgment call about which one is best. I don't mean it in that way. But you can't help but compare the three. This one has the most subdued flavor to me. I don't know what the M or the W stands for. I haven't got any idea.
I don't either. And I know what it is. So
good. But so I'm not going to try to guess. I don't get as much of those big, bright sugar flavors. Like, there's that big, overwhelming kind of caramel flavor in the last two. Actually, the first one had the big caramel flavor, like a burnt sugar with the apples. The pineapple one didn't taste like a burnt sugar to me, but it was definitely had the brown sugar. This one does too, I think, but it's a little more subdued. I don't have an overwhelming feeling of what the heck is that that I did with the other two. I'm really curious to know what it is, and I'm afraid that I might have a little palate fatigue.
Oh well, I'm a little bit.
You know, after so this
need
is
some
our,
oyster crackers.
Yeah, what, 1, 2, 3 beers before this? Is that right, or 3 or 4? And so I'm kind of like, I'm having a little trouble picking it out.
Well,
help me out.
You're saying that maybe it's a blend of three different.
It could be a blend of three different things.
Well, how about if it's a blend of the previous two?
That makes sense.
That's
to me.
What it is.
Yeah, that makes
That's
sense.
That's what it is. And it's interesting because you're right. The fruit flavor is subdued. And you would think that a blend of the two would be, you know, be like 1 and 1 equals 3.
Right.
This is 1 and 1 equals like 0.5.
Right. This is like a pair of Bose noise canceling
exactly.
headphones.
Yeah, this is the apparently apple and pineapple are the opposite sine waves or whatever the sound waves. Yeah, I mean, this is still good.
It's very good.
But it's not as good as the other two. It's not as like, wow, that is amazing. It's kind of muddy.
Yeah,
The fruit flavors have kind of canceled each other out.
That's right. This would be the beer I'd serve first.
Yes.
And then, because it's good. There's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go, wow, that's a good beer.
Yeah.
And then you'd serve either of the other two and go, that's a great beer.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I'm going to go back and smell the pineapple.
Don't do that at home, folks.
And boy, it still smells exactly like a pineapple.
Mm. Mm-mm-mm.
And then the apple smells like a baked apple.
Yep.
But this one
smells like kind of nothing.
Well, it's just, you know, I guess if I concentrated and used my imagination and made stuff up, I could say I smelled both. But
well, and. Now that you know, or now that I know, but I still, it is muddy is a good descriptor for that. It's just a muddier flavor.
It's not dark. It's still bright because there's some sort of tartness there, but muddy as far as being identifiable as something.
It's like you know, I'm in the newspaper business.
I could tell by your ink-stained fingers.
So bear with me. When you get people that want to run an ad and they put way too much copy in the ad.
Yes.
And so they have like 10 different messages in their advertisement.
Yes.
And you try to tell them, don't do that. And they do it anyway. Because you only have one clear, crystal clear message.
Right.
That's the problem with this beer.
Let me ask you.
Yes.
Does their check still clear?
Yes, it does. And that's why I love all of my customers. I'm just speaking academically. I'm speaking as a helpful friend in the newspaper business. But the analogy is the same.
Right. No, they're all good. It's just that I think that this is one thing, again, where two wonderful things blended together does not make a third more wonderful thing. It makes a less wonderful thing.
Yep. That's right.
So, but it's still good. I mean, if we had this by itself, we'd be saying, oh my God, this is good.
That's right.
But we've had these better things.
That's why I'd serve it first.
Now, there you go. Well, thanks, Steve.
Thank you, James.
So here we talked about, you know, we said that it was Steve kind of used the analogy of noise-canceling headphones, you know, that you would expect 1 and 1 equals 3 in something like this, but, you know, 1 and 1 was more like 0.5, you know, it seems like the two kind of muddied together and kind of, instead of magnifying each other, they kind of took away from each other.
Yeah, I kind of had the same experience when I tried both of them. I thought definitely like the apple the most out of the three. And then when I drank the mixture, I don't think it turned out the best, but I mean, it was still a decent drink. But yeah, I thought it kind of, you know, they kind of mucked together and didn't turn out as well as what I was hoping it would.
Yeah, and it did that. And Brooke, with your experience as being a chef, that might not have surprised you.
No, I guess it kind of really didn't. It's one of those things where when you're making a dish, sometimes focus is more important than layers, because too many layers of flavor, well, yeah, you got to build some structure into a dish. At the same time, too much, and it kind of is just all over the place. And that's a little bit what I think happened there. It was just because, like I said, they fermented pretty well on their own. They seemed to taste fine on their own. But you're right. I think completely together, they just kind of clashed, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, and I agree, David, that it was a good beer. And like Steve said, you know, if he was serving the three of these, he would serve that one first, because it is a tasty beer. It's just it just didn't measure up to the other two.
Right, yeah.
As a wise podcaster once, you know, encouraged us to do lots of experiments to try to learn as much as we can as homebrewers, so for that we're very grateful.
We'll have to get that guy's name.
Yeah, it's crazy, huh?
Well, is there anything? I mean, have you tried any other fruit juices in this kind of recipe?
Well, I won't say fruit juice, but we did for our bottling sugar once. We added freeze dried fruit.
That was fun.
Yeah, let's just say we added too much and the bottles are well over carbonated. You open it and you shoot your beer up to the ceiling.
Yeah, you gotta have a catch container ready.
Well, you put them in the fridge so that they don't become explosive.
That didn't really help much, actually.
Oh, it didn't?
No, they're stabilized. They're a few years old. We're letting them age, because that's the thing. With the overcarbonation, they ended up way too boozy. We overshot just how effective freeze-dried fruit would be. And so we're kind of letting the last few of them just see how long they last.
Is there another fruit that you think would be good? I mean, if somebody's looking into doing this, you know, their own grafts, you know, what other juices do you think would lend themselves to this?
I think I wouldn't mind trying a cherry juice, actually. Oh, yeah. I think that might work out pretty.
Absolutely. I think it's a perfect call, Dave.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see. And, you know, you could... That brings to mind New Glarus's Wisconsin Belgian Red. I think you could get pretty close using cherry juice with that one.
Yeah.
I think what it really comes down to is, I mean, pick your berry. It'll probably work pretty well. We've shown from the citrus fruit family, you could probably even go with a good lemonade and probably still come out pretty well. Mm. I think the important thing is looking for things that are whole juices that have the sediments, because really that also is going to help feed your yeast and help your life cycle. And going to contain a lot of those, I think, just personally, what I taste the difference when I taste juices. If you've got the sediments in there, you've got a lot of flavor. You've got a lot of depth of flavor. If it's been from concentrate or something like that, some of those points have been stripped away. It's like a wine that goes through a centrifuge to remove sulfites. You removed heavy molecules that contribute to the wine. So at the same time, it happens with fruit juice. So the only advice I would say, if someone were to do this, pick a juice that's got sediment in it, so you know it's actual juice, not from concentrate. Get something that's just the one juice you want to do, and don't be scared to try stuff.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, guys, this has been a lot of fun. Thanks so much for sending the beers. And
you're quite welcome. If you up for it, we'll send you. We, like I said, we experiment a lot. If you're up for it, we'll send you more.
You bet.
Well, and one other thing too, I should mention, James. Like I said, I've been listening to your podcast for years, and we're hoping. Just on a personal note, we're hoping to have a brew pub open by the end of 2014. If we could somehow, you know, get you guys up here, it'd be on us to invite you. So your whole crew would be more than welcome.
Awesome. Well, that sounds like fun.
Well, it's yours for the taking, bud.
Do keep us posted.
Will do.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Oh, quite right. Welcome, James. Thanks for having us on. Like I said, it's an honor.
Yep. Thanks a lot, James.
Thanks again to Brooke and David. And to Steve Wilkes for the tough job of sitting outside on a beautiful day to sip some tasty beers. And doesn't take us much to get goofy. We're goofy drinking iced tea out on the patio. I think I'm going to steal the idea of putting the frozen fruit juice into the wort at the end of the boil. Maybe pineapple juice paired with a late-hopped American pale ale with Amarillo hops, for example. Woo! That sounds like a lot of fun. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Our Basic Brewing growler bags are available on our shop. Protect your precious homebrew and craft beers. You take it from place to place. Check out our support link where you can throw a couple of bucks into the tip jar by subscribing financially to our podcasts. And be sure to check out our DVDs, of course. What started it all, extract brewing and partial mashing, stepping into all grain, low-tech lagering and decoction mashing, and introduction to wine kits. You can find them all on our site. We've got combo deals to save you a few bucks if you want to buy more than one DVD at a time, and you can check out our shirts in the store as well. Our logbooks are on the store, too. Keep track of up to 50 batches of beer. You can see a listing of the fine folks across the country who sell our DVDs on basicbrewing.com, and if there isn't a vendor in your area, you can order them online in our online shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody who's continued to click on our Amazon.com link. We greatly appreciate the support. Our featured products this week that were purchased through the link are Coaster Button Tufted Design Storage Bench Brown Leatherette and Doctor Who Fully Functioning Sonic Screwdriver Prop Replica. Awesome. Thanks again, everybody. And remember, I can't tell who bought what, so no worries. So just click on the Amazon.com logo on our site the next time you feel like Amazon shopping. We greatly appreciate your support. Don't forget, you can also join the American Homebrewers Association and subscribe to Brew Your Own Magazine through the associate link on basicbrewing.com. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dotson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. Talk to you next time, everybody. So long.